It's a great gospel, isn't it? We get Jesus in mid-rant against the Pharisees. If you were here for Mass yesterday, you see that he is going hard, unloading both barrels. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You're like whitewashed tombs. I mean, he rips them. Yesterday, he rips them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. You cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees. Cleanse first the inside of the cup so that the outside may also be clean. What's going on with Jesus? Right? He's a hot little potato. If you need a Zoolander reference tonight, there it is. Right? Jesus' anger. I want to talk about God's anger. Is he angry? Yes, he is angry. But God's anger is not like our anger, where we hate someone if we're angry with them, especially in 2020. We seem to have developed a great talent for that. God's anger is always motivated by his passion to set things right. So does he hate the Pharisees? Absolutely not. He loves them. And that is why he brings his anger to bear upon them. Because he loves them. Because he wants to set things right in their lives. That they could be who they were called to be. And that they might know exactly what their role is in leading people to God and not becoming an obstacle. It's the same for you and for me. Jesus is passionately in love with us. And so he wants to set things right. That means then that what is wrong needs to be addressed. That God doesn't just paper over things. Like, oh, it's fine. Everything's fine. You're wonderful in every way. That's not true. I'm not wonderful in every way. And neither are you. It's why we begin Mass exactly the way we begin Mass, with the Confiteor. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned, that none of us are perfect. That's exactly why we're here at Mass tonight, because we need Jesus. We need him to save us. We need him so that we can become who he has created us to be. His love for us will call out in us what is not set right. And this gospel in particular is great for us to pay attention to, because as sinners, we do exactly what the Pharisees and the scribes do. Now, Father Bart and I, we have to be extra careful because we're up here in vestments and everyone thinks we're holy. We have to make sure that we're actually living from the interior life that Jesus has opened to us out, that we become who we actually are supposed to be. That's a work that we have. It's a responsibility. But it's also your responsibility, because that's what it means to be a Christian. So he calls out our talent as sinners to build up facades, fake fronts. That's exactly what that word facade means. Fake fronts. Jesus isn't interested in fakeness. He's not interested in appearances. He's interested in reality. And it's easy for us to want to avoid reality. Our whole culture, in some ways, is built on distraction. How can we distract ourselves from what's really going on? Because oftentimes what's really going on is a bit scary and certainly a bit uncomfortable. But the Lord invites us to push right into that. That's the church too. Pope Benedict's great line that maybe you heard. He said, "The world offers you comfort, but you weren't made for comfort. You were made for greatness." Well, greatness is only found in actual reality. In squaring up to what's really going on. Yes, in the world, but more importantly, first in our own hearts. Because before we criticize the world, we should look inside and see what's going on in our own hearts. Because if that gets set right, if what's going on in our own hearts gets set right, then we'll be the right people to address what's going on in the world. Take what I just said to heart, please, as you watch the news. How does all this mess get fixed in our country? Only if interior hearts are transformed. Only. Because doing it the other way won't fix anything. It'll just hurt more people. And I'm serious about that. What does Jesus want to do? He wants to go in. He doesn't care about the appearance. He cares about the reality. He wants us to live from the inside out. Now, friends, why do we want to avoid the inside? One, yeah, it's uncomfortable. But two, we have to square up to some stuff that's not right in our lives. Jesus knows that. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows all my faults and failings. He knows all my talents and graces better than I do. And here's the thing. He knows me, he knows you, and he loves us. He loves me, and he loves you. He doesn't love you because you're perfect. He doesn't love you because you figured out this thing by the age of 22. He loves you. Whether you struggle with this sin or that sin, with this doubt or that weakness, he loves you. He loves you right where you are, right now. And if you hang out with me long enough, you know there's a second part to that phrase. And he loves you too much to let you stay where you are. He loves you right where you are, and he loves you too much to let you stay there. Because he's drawing you into his holiness, which will open up your life. That's why he doesn't want us to waste a second putting on appearances, building fake fronts. Friends, while we have to be masked physically, he does not want us masked spiritually. He wants us unmasked. No fakeness, no appearances, just reality. So when you come to pray, just as you've come tonight, come as you are. If you have struggles, welcome to the human race. If you have sins, welcome to the church. Because we have a Savior who loves sinners, who loves you. And his grace is extended to you at all times so that we don't have to play the game of being holy in appearance, but that we can actually, truly, and really become holy. From our own merits? No. But because of him, the one who is all holy and the one who wholly and perfectly loves you.